The following sermon was delivered by Associate Pastor Reverend Werner Ramirez in the sanctuary of Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. We welcome you to worship with us every Sunday in person or on live stream. For details, go to fapc.org. And now, here's Reverend Werner Ramirez.
So I have a love-hate relationship with Daylight Savings Day, especially in November. I really appreciate the extra hour of sleep, and believe it or not, by the grace of God and some strategic planning by April, August slept the extra hour this year. But the bummer part is to leave the office around 5-ish, and it's completely dark out. Pastor Scott Black Johnson says this about our sermon series. In the Northern Hemisphere, the season of Advent coincides with the darkest time of the year. As we move through December, each day has less light. We can wake, head to school or work, and later return home every step of the way in the dark. I was getting a haircut earlier in November, and the TV was on while I was still getting a trim. And the newscaster said, if it were not for Daylight Savings Day, there would be some parts of the country that wouldn't see the sun rise until about 9:30 or even 10 a.m. I told my barber, well, that stinks. And my barber unempathetically said, well, then don't live there. It's not necessarily that the dark is bad. In fact, some people thrive in the dark and in the night. Yet for some of us, the cold and dark season does take a toll on us. I know it does for me. For some of us, in the midst of the Christmas lights, the hot chocolate, and the holiday cheer, there is a bleak winter, a sense of loss. In these moments, when the darkness feels overwhelming, when it's the literal long nights of winter or the figurative shadows we carry in our hearts, our faith reminds us that we are not alone. Throughout history, people have sought out symbols of hope to guide them through the dark. And one such symbol is luminaria. Luminaria has a rich history originating in Spanish and Mexican traditions. These are small lanterns of paper bags with sands and candles that were first used as a way to light the path to midnight mass during Christmas celebrations, guiding worshipers to the place where they would honor the Christ child. In some regions, luminaria were seen as a way to symbolically prepare the way for Mary and Joseph as they searched for shelter in Bethlehem. Over time, they've become a beloved tradition, lighting pathways and reminding communities that even the smallest flicker of light can push back the deepest darkness. These lanterns are more than just decorations. They are signs of faith, pointing toward the hope that Christ brings into our lives and into our world. So this Advent, we're going to lean into the image of luminaria, these simple lanterns made of paper bags, sands, and a flickering candle inside. They're not grand or flashy, but they shine with a quiet, steady glow, lighting paths in the dark. These humble lights remind us that even in the deepest shadows, a way forward can be found. So this season, as we worship, we'll look for God's luminaria, signs of hope, sparks of joy, and glimpses of love breaking into our lives. Like these paper lanterns, God's light might not always be dazzling or overwhelming. It often appears as something small, perhaps a kind word, a warm embrace, a moment of unexpected peace. But together, these lights guide us, pointing us towards the one who comes to dispel the dark. So let us walk this illuminated path together, looking for the light and reflecting it wherever we go. So let us turn to the words of Jesus in Matthew 5, starting at verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This is the word of God for you, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
For many of us, I think music helps us get into the holiday season. Whether it's the traditional carols or fun Christmas songs on the radio, there's something magical and hopeful about beautiful lyrics and melodies that can bring us through even the bleak of winter. I know many of you are looking forward to Handel's Messiah concert this coming weekend. We're ready. For many of you, this concert and sacred music like that is a flickering candle of hope. It lights your path. It's Illuminatia. Now, you may or may not believe it. Actually, I think you probably will. But for me, the music that gives me hope are the same Advent lyrics that lead us to Christ, but they have been covered by punk bands. Now, I know that may sound sacrilegious to you, but there is nothing but pure joy when the Reverend Chris Palmer and I are driving from Queens on Sunday morning, headbanging to a screamo version of Come That Long Expected Jesus. You're welcome to join us. One of the most surprising best punk Christmas and Advent albums is by a band called Bad Religion, a band who has criticized organized religion and whose band logo is a cross that has been marked out with an X. Yet their Christmas album is filled with songs that can be found in our hymnal, including the hymn from today, O Come, Emmanuel. I think it's fascinating. And some have wondered if they made this album as a mockery. I don't buy that. But the irony is that if they did, is the reality for many of us, we find this album worshipful and meaningful. And I actually have to wonder if even for Bad Religion, they are searching for hope. They sing of a hope in the midst of darkness in O Come, Emmanuel, through their heavy guitar riffs. And you could still clearly hear the grief of people in exile, with the hope of Christ shouting, "Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel." And this is intriguing to me because this is not the first time that I've seen Bad Religion sing of hope. In their 2002 song, Sorrow, they sing, "When all their soldiers lay their weapons down, when all kings and queens relinquish their crowns, and when the only true Messiah rescues us from ourselves, it's easy to imagine that there will be sorrow, that there will be sorrow, and there will be sorrow no more. It's easy to imagine when there will be sorrow no more, the parallels of there will be sorrow no more to close the path of misery. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel, ring so true for me." They're flickers of hope. Which leads me to the passage for today. Our passage for today is near the beginning of what some people call Jesus' manifesto, the Sermon on the Mount, a sermon that Jesus does on the hill in front of a large crowd that has been following him for some time, the crowd of mostly people who have been told in one way or another that they don't have value. Jesus starts off the sermon by saying, "Blessed are the weak. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek." And I can imagine this crowd that feels like they are weak, like they are poor in spirit and meek, and hearing, "Am I truly blessed? I've been told for so long that I've been cursed." But then Jesus switches his language and tells the crowd, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Why use this imagery? Let's start off with salt. Salt in that time was used in so many ways. It was used to preserve food, for seasoning, for burial, for a variety of things. And we get it, because we also like salt. I'm the type of cook that loves to add seasoning. I can't have my chicken be boring. In a sense, Jesus is telling these people, "You help preserve the world. You give the world its seasoning." Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if you lose your saltiness, it's not worth anything. It feels like a warning of some form. The Reverend Jess Winderweedle is a good friend of mine. We co-pastored together in New Jersey. She officiated April and Mai's wedding and did my installation sermon here. But she's done my favorite sermon on this passage. And it's brilliant because part of her sermon, she admits that she doesn't know anything about salt and light. So she asked a friend that's a scientist, can salt actually lose its saltiness? The scientist said, no. Salt can't lose its saltiness, or else it's not actually salt. Reverend Jess says, being salt isn't a thing you aspire to. It's a thing you already are. The thing you have been made to be in Christ, and like it or not, you will have an impact on the world, and through your words, your actions, your gifts, your presence. It's up to you. It's up to each of us how our saltiness may be applied. Too much and we can easily make things toxic and awful. But too little and the world around us lacks flavor and goodness. The life-preserving quality that God has created us to add through our compassion and kindness and love for our neighbors. Friends, you are the salt of the earth, and I've seen the way you flavored this city, this country, and this world. With the way you prepare meals, with the way that you pray for people, the way you care for the poor and the oppressed, you are the salt of the earth. Then next, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. And again, there is a warning. Do not hide a lamp under a bushel. We just heard an amazing version of this little light of mine. But if you remember the one from Sunday school, they also say, hide under a bushel. No. I'm gonna let it shine. But if you hide a candle under a bushel, that would not extinguish the light. It would only cover it. Reverend Jess asked the scientist again, what would you do if you put a light like that lit under a bushel? And she said, it would catch on fire. Pastor Jess says this, see, the light does not hide. Light reveals. Light revealed life at the dawn of creation, and the light of Christ revealed the promise of God even then to those who longed for hope and healing. For Jesus to tell the crowd, those disciples, that they are the light of the world, the light that revealed something of who God is a revolution in the making. The manifesto of a Savior who came to bind up the brokenhearted and break the yoke of oppression that burdened the poor in spirit, the meek, the hungry, the sick, and those who knew no rest. You are the light of the world. Friends, flickers of hope cannot be hidden, especially in the bleak of winter, in the midst of darkness. Hope cannot be extinguished. Hope cannot be extinguished. A few years ago, my wife April was out of town, and I didn't feel like cooking. So I went out to a bar pub style restaurant in Queens where I live. And I didn't want to get a table to myself, so I sat at the bar, and the owners of the place happened to be there, and they were chatting it up with everyone. They were a very nice couple, but he definitely chatted a lot more than she did. We were talking for a little bit, and then he asked me the question that's always so awkward for a clergy person, because you never know how people are going to react. So what do you do for a living? I said I was a pastor, and he grilled me for like 10 minutes with theological questions and whatnot. But her, on the other hand, well, she shut down. She no longer had interest in chatting with me. After about 10 minutes, he asked me, so where are you a pastor at? Well, I'm a pastor at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church. It's on 5th and 55th in Manhattan. And then she turned right back around to us. And with tears in her eyes, she looked at me and said, I'm not much for religion. But my brother, he had severe mental health issues, and he was homeless for a while. He actually died about a year ago. Again, I'm not a fan of religion, But your church was really good to him when he was going through the darkest time of his life. Friends, flickers of hope cannot be extinguished. Friends, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. With your faith, your care for the poor and the oppressed, with your heart for justice, it could bring flickers of hope to a dark, dark world. You can help us imagine that one day, through Christ, there will be sorrow no more. Friends, as you leave in peace, know that you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world, and you are loved, and you are enough. Amen.
We hope this sermon has been meaningful to you and given you a measure of hope, encouragement, and good news. If you would like to make a donation to support this audio ministry, please visit fapc.org/give. Thank you, and blessings to you on this day.